What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 126, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and you happen to purchase something that helps us out and helps the podcast keep on going, with me today is Friday instead of Sunday where we usually record, I have Derek with me. What's up, Derek?
Not much. How you doing, Bob?
It's good, man. I'm finally back home. I've been away for almost a month. And yeah.
Long trip.
Very long trip. It's weird. It is so weird to be back in front of my ultra wide.
But nice, I'm sure.
Yeah, I honestly, when I first got back and I was like, wow, this is too big, right? You know? Yeah. And then now I'm like, okay, yes, I like, you know, I like
the
size.
You used it for a little while and you adjusted to the size.
Yes, yes. But it's nice to be back in front of my ultra wide. It is nice to be back on my awesome mechanical keyboard, which I love.
Yeah.
It's just nice, and it's nice to use a, you know, 18 core processor and
yeah,
XT99 system with NVMe SSDs. Like, it's just nice to have that all back. Because I was using a very nice laptop, but not a bad laptop at all, but it doesn't not compare to this, you know, yeah, my home system.
There's something that extra little bit of snappiness you get out of your desktop PC that is doesn't seem to ever be quite replicated on a laptop.
Yeah, it never has been. And like I said, the constraint of the screen size. You know, when are we going to get those screens that kind of just come, like, you know,
like roll out of the top of it?
Yeah, that it's not really a screen, it's a projection, and I can make it as big as I want, and you know.
I think it's more likely that you'll get a glasses that do something like that than a projected hollow screen or something.
Correct.
That's got to be in the near future for us, right?
I would hope so, because there's nothing like having this ultra wide. I love it. And again, I was a dual monitor guy, and I love this ultra wide. I don't think I will ever go back to a dual monitor. I really don't think.
Nice.
It's just that good. So anyways, let's jump into tech. We have some cool stuff this week, starting out with our reviews. And I took a look at the EVGA X299 Micro motherboard. That is their Micro ATX X299 board. Every new release, EVGA typically has a Micro ATX, an ATX, and an eATX board. This is, of course, their Micro ATX. And it's one of the only Micro ATX form factor X299 boards available, which is kind of weird because I think that form factor allows you to do dual graphics. So you can do dual graphics with a high-end desktop processor from Intel. Could really build a pretty amazing system in a small form factor. Kind of surprised that there's not a lot of boards. I think EVGA and MSI are the only ones.
Is kind of that in between where it's not tiny, right?
Correct.
And so you're not really building your super small form factor build with it. And it doesn't offer you the full feature set of a full-size ATX board, so it's kind of like it's kind of a niche thing in that respect,
especially when it comes to high-end desktop, because we have all these PCI Express lanes that just don't get used, you know what I mean? Even with dual graphics, you're not using them all. You know, even with the M.2 and there's a U.2 on this board, you're not using them all. If you're going to the 10 plus core processor. So that's something that it's kind of maybe okay, you know, you're missing out on some things. But I do think with this board, you can really build an awesome little workstation or an awesome little LAN rig that's incredibly powerful. I mean, you can do, you know, two 1080 Ti's in here, you know, or whatever you may be. You know, you can load this up with DDR4. You have the M.2 for your super fast NVMe. You also have U.2 on there. And again, you have the full speed because you have the lanes because of the processor. You know, I think this board's awesome. I think that, again, you can build an awesome system. It has everything that you're going to want as well. You have 802.11 AC Wi-Fi plus Bluetooth, Gigabit Ethernet, USB 3.1. I mean, you have pretty much everything that you would want in a board. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. One thing this board does not have is RGBs, and I think a lot of people will appreciate that. It is a all-black PCB with black accents. There is an RGB header, so you can add a light strip or whatever you want, but there's no RGBs on the board, and I think...
It's old school.
It's not... I think there is a, you know... People want that, right?
I didn't mean that in a negative regard. It's just old school. We used to have to light our motherboards with lights from our cases.
Yeah, yeah. I think EVGA has really held back against RGBs. I'm actually surprised that there's a header on the board itself. That was even a surprise to me. You know, but this is, like I said, this is a great board that you can build a nice little either workstation or gaming PC with. And again, you're getting the full lane, so everything on this board's going to run. You know what I mean? You're not going to, oh, if I use the M.2, then I can't use this, or I can't, if I have two graphics cards, I can't use that. If you're running a 10-core or higher processor, you have no problem with any of that. On this, you know, the only thing I would say on this board, because of the form factor and the smaller cooling on the VRMs, overclocking is not going to be as prevalent. You're not going to be able to push this as much just because of the temperature things. But I don't think a whole ton of people are super overclocking their high-end desktop processors this time around. It's just very unfeasible. Well,
they create a lot of heat to begin with, right?
A lot of heat. They draw a ton of power.
Yeah. In this form factor, I mean, it that alone, without it being overclocked, creates more of an issue. Just the regular thermals from it. So
yeah,
it's condensed.
For sure. Yeah. So it's that's the only real issue. Another thing that this board does not have is any real companion software. That's something that EVGA hasn't done. You know, there is a value add-on by other companies. We see, you know, MSI, Asus, and Gigabyte do it quite well.
Yeah.
Just software that helps you, all the features on your board, you can make actual use of them and everything like that. Instant overclocking features, all that kind of stuff, you just don't get here.
In general, software is not EVGA's strong suit.
Yeah. And the other thing was that the actual Wi-Fi card and the rear I/O cover, not the shield, the actual cover that covers it, you have to install yourself. And it's not a huge deal for somebody like me, you know, a builder or something like that. But for somebody to install the Wi-Fi card and you have to connect the antennas yourself, which are like the really, I don't know if you've ever seen them. It's like almost like a mobile Wi-Fi card that you would find in a laptop, and the antennas are tiny, super super tiny. They hardly ever stay on correctly. It's just a pain in the ass, really. And for a normal consumer, that's a pain in the ass. And then having to put in the I/O cover on yourself doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, why isn't it already on there?
Yeah, why would it not be? Unless does it cover the battery for BIOS backup?
It does cover the battery.
I suppose that could be the reasoning.
Yeah, that could be, but still, I don't know. I saw this on their X99 board as well. Okay. The I/O cover just was, you had to do it yourself, which I don't know. It's just an extra step, especially the Wi-Fi card's an extra step that I think that they could have eliminated to make it easier for the consumer. But all in all, this is a great board. Again, one of the only micro ATX X299 boards out there, and it's a solid performer across the board. You just, again, you're not going to get the software. If you want RGBs, you have to connect your own strip or what have you.
How is the audio solution?
Audio solution is pretty basic. It's not something, you know, we've seen some pretty high-end solutions like especially from Gigabyte and on their Aura boards, but it's the typical for the platform, you know what I mean?
Audio is just, onboard audio is just stepped up super.
Oh, it has, super high, for sure. So
it's using an add-in card for audio is, aside from your audio file, is kind of unheard of.
Yeah. What's great about this is that you do actually have three slots if you actually wanted to use them. So if you weren't going to do a dual graphics card setup, you could technically do a single, you know, 1080 Ti or what have you, and then you have two more slots, which, you know, you could install a sound card if you want. If you really wanted some great sound, you could also do a PCI Express SSD in there too. And again, it's going to run at full speed, which is important.
So, you could really put together a pretty good mobile like editing rig here.
For sure.
PCI Express.
PCI Express. You already have the M.2 there, and then you can throw in another one if you wanted. And you have the U.2, which is extremely fast. You know, you can get one of those drives, and you have six SATA 6 gig ports too. So just a, like I said,
ultimate.
Yeah. Kind of an ultimate little rig that you could build, not necessarily mobile workstation.
Mostly mobile, though.
Yeah, but it's mostly mobile, for sure. It's a cool little board.
It's expensive, though, right?
In the X299 range, it's really not. It's $289.99. Yeah. I believe the MSI one is right around that price range. Most X299 boards are right around $300.
Yeah.
So it's right in that price range. The price isn't an issue really for me.
Okay.
With the feature set that you're getting. So I like it.
Cool.
And I would definitely, if I was somebody who was traveling but wanted that powerful processor as well as graphics card, you could technically build something that could fit in a suitcase. Technically, without the monitor.
Yeah.
For sure. So very, very cool little motherboard. And I took a look at a gaming headset this week, and this one really, I was excited to take a look at them. I actually have them on my head now. It's the HyperX Cloud Alpha. And if you've been listening to this podcast or been, you know, reading the site for a while, you know that my go-to headset for years has been the HyperX Cloud 2. That was my headset. That's what I used. Every time I got a headset to review, I reviewed it. I used it for a few weeks, and then it went back in the box. Always came back to the Cloud 2.
Hmm.
Just super comfortable and amazing sound quality. Basically, the Cloud 2 is one of the best gaming headsets you can get for under $100. Just that good.
Mm-hmm.
So when HyperX told me that they have a successor to it, the new Cloud Alpha, I was like, okay, you guys have to get this right, because the Cloud 2 was amazing and I would use it for years and years and years. It's one of those things that, like, you buy like three or four of, just so if one does break in 5 years, you have another one to go along, you know what I mean?
So the
Cloud Alpha is brand new from HyperX, and it follows the design is extremely similar. It has a slightly larger profile because of the drivers that are in the headset. And they use what they're calling a dual chamber design to give you better and clearer sound. And it actually does. The sound is incredible. For a gaming headset that, again, is under $100, it sits right at $99.99. The sound quality is incredibly good. Now, one thing you're not going to get with this is that with the Cloud 2, you had that USB sound card that gave you your virtual 7.1. Some people use it, some people don't. Again, I liked it just because you could plug in that USB literally to anything, and then you have any PC you could use this with, you know, and get better sound. Especially if it was an older system, you would get better sound out of that than you would the sound card that's in there.
But so
this one, you don't have that. It's a stereo headset, but you can use it with a multitude of devices, from your mobile device console to PC and laptops. And the microphone is detachable, which is good, because I hate companies that market headsets for like mobile use, and there's no detachable headset. Like, I'm not going to walk around listening to music or what have you with a microphone hanging off my headset. So it is detachable, which is nice.
You don't want to use that at home. If you're not using the microphone, you don't want it there.
Yeah, exactly. So it's detachable, which is nice. And the biggest thing with this headset, and the one thing I loved about the Cloud 2, was the comfort. It has to be comfortable. And I do have to say, this is probably one of the most comfortable headsets I've ever used. I've used it for hours upon hours, long gaming sessions, long writing sessions. You know, this is what I use on a daily basis now. And I have to say, it is quite, it's just as soon as I put it on, I said they got the comfort right. That's like in my head, that's what I said, because that was the big thing. That's why I love the Cloud 2, was that it was so comfortable. It doesn't matter how amazing the sound is. You could have the best sounding headphones ever that cost, you know, thousands of dollars, right? But if they're not comfortable, especially for a long period of time, nobody's going to use them. Mm-hmm. They're just not. So with this, it's extremely comfortable. Like, I don't know how to explain. It is just so comfortable. They don't give you, you know, you don't have any stress on your head or on your ears or the area around your ears, even after 2-3-4 hour gaming sessions. You just don't
perfect.
Have it.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, so they're amazing. There's a couple things that some people would like. Like I said, I would have liked to see the USB attachment, just, you know, just because. Also, these do not have a lay flat design. So, you know, that helps with travel. Also, if you're, you know, you're at a LAN and you want to get up, but you still want to have your headphones on, but then, you know, you can put them on your around your neck when they're not like all in the way. Does come with, I wouldn't call it a carrying case. It's more of like a little baggie that it comes with. So they don't get all scratched up or anything like that when traveling. But I would say, given the headsets that are out there now, this is the new best gaming headset under $100.
Nice.
It's just that good. I really can't find anything that bad about it. One thing I didn't mention, it does have aluminum frame design as well, so you can bend it and you can throw it around and it's going to take a beating, so that's very important as well. So I would totally recommend this to anybody looking for a new gaming headset. And again, because it is stereo, you can use it with anything. So if you're a console gamer, this would be good for you. If you're gaming on a laptop that has just a single multi connector, you can use this. If you're gaming on your phone, you can use this. It's just an awesome headset. So definitely would recommend. Probably will be one of my favorite products of 2018.
Cool.
Yes. So we'll move on from reviews to Case Mod Friday. And of course, this is where we take a look at a build or mod that's been done in the community. And this week we have a rather interesting build from Matt's PC Mods. And he's very, very popular on Instagram. And this is done inside of a Li & Li case. And the thing that I like about it is, the thing that really set it apart was, one, the sort of, what would you call it? You call those reservoirs? I guess they're reservoirs?
The in the back?
Yeah. I mean, I know they're show, you know, but...
they're reservoirs, but it's just the old channeling and I don't know how else to describe
yeah,
it.
So
in between the plexi and there the acrylic,
yeah,
sandwiched acrylic, yeah.
So what he's done is he has a Li & Li case, and right after where the motherboard sits, he's installed a piece of acrylic or plexi rather, right?
Yeah, it's acrylic. Yeah.
Acrylic, and in that there's different cutouts and different design, like different shapes.
Different
chambers for the coolant, and I assume he's using Mayhem's coolant. It just looks like that. Could be wrong, but
no, yeah, it's Mayhem's.
And it just gives this really cool look.
On the other hand, Primo Chill has some now too, so it's either a version of Aurora or it could be one of the Primo Chill coolants.
Yeah. Very, very elegant and clean build. And one thing that's cool is that this Li & Li case, the front of it is actually designed with a tempered glass window. So you can actually see in, and that's one of the first things you see is these chambers, which I think is really cool.
I think it might be view. It doesn't, Aurora has a more of a flake look to it.
Okay.
And Vue is a newer coolant. Yeah, it's definitely a Vue. It's a gray.
Nice.
It might be sterling silver, but it's rather than like large larger flaky looking pieces, it's like granules, so it's really it's a smoother look to the coolant, and it kind of picks up the light a little differently.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's what he's got in there. There are some people and having issues with this coolant, so if you're interested, it's a really cool look. If you haven't seen Aurora, you definitely need to check that out as well. It's a really, really cool look, mostly for show. These aren't like 24/7 coolants. It kind of dies. It accumulates and dies, the particles in it. But definitely do your research into Vue and pre-setting up your system. There's a lot involved in like cleaning out the loop before you get going.
Gotcha.
But it's some cool stuff if you're into that water cooling.
Yeah, it just gives it a really, really cool look. And, yeah,
it sets it off.
Yeah, it looks really, really nice. Besides that, though, this is a pretty basic, no, I wouldn't call it basic, but you know, yeah. There's
it's
not
more
a whole,
basic.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot else done. Hard tubing, and then some really great cable work on the GPU and the 24 pin. Just a nice build. I really like it. It's just
it really is the coolant that sets it off, though.
Yeah, the coolant makes this build. I think it's just really, really well done. So definitely go ahead and check that out. And this week, because Valentine's Day is coming up, we have a really cool and interesting giveaway. And one thing that's really cool about this is that you're not only going to get a prize for you, we're going to give you some hardware, but we're also going to give you something for your girlfriend or partner, which I think is pretty cool, because we give away a lot of hardware. And, you know, you get something cool, but, you know, it is Valentine's Day, so you want to, you know, get your significant...
Well, you got to do something.
Yeah, you want to get your significant other something as well. So we've teamed with a company called Quicksonic, and what they actually do is they make this luxury electronic skincare device. Basically, it just helps your skin, and I'm sure you guys have seen these, you know, at the store. But they're giving us a MSI Z370 Gaming Pro Carbon AC motherboard. So a great way, a great prize there for you guys, for all you PC builders out there. But on top of that, with that prize, you'll get one of their luxury electronics skincare devices, a box of English chocolates, and 24 beautiful long stem roses. So this is a pretty awesome contest, because you'll get something cool, and then your significant other will get something, and you don't have to do anything for Valentine's Day. And it is ending, the contest is ending, I believe, on the 10th. So that the things can be shipped out, so you get it on the 14th. So nice. right in time for Valentine's Day. Super easy to enter. Not really much you have to do.
Is North America?
It is worldwide.
States. Worldwide.
Yes.
Nice. So is Valentine's Day a worldwide holiday?
I am not sure.
Kind of thought it was a Hallmark holiday, but
you could be correct, but I'm not sure. But whatever the case may be, you're going to get an awesome motherboard and some other cool stuff. So pretty pumped about that one.
Yeah, it's a great prize package.
Yeah. So we'll have all that. And if you think about it, 24 red roses is probably, what, 40, 50 bucks?
No, on Valentine's Day? 60, 70, 80.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I believe
maybe more than that even actually.
Yeah,
I think about it.
And I believe the skincare device, they sell it for $100, I believe. Let me see. I'm actually on the website.
That's quite a package.
Yeah. $149. I'm sorry.
Huh.
So yeah.
And not only does it have a high monetary value, but winning something for your SO for Valentine's Day, you know, that's points for
yes,
gaming and modding time.
Yes, that is points. Oh, I got you these roses and this awesome thing to keep your skin clean, so let me play some PUBG all night.
Goodbye.
Yes. So definitely check it out. There is 6 days left on this contest, so definitely get your entry in. Definitely one of the more different contests we've done, but we got some good stuff for you guys. So we are off to news this week, and not a whole lot of stuff, but some pretty interesting things. We'll start with famous overclocker and modder all around, Zbauer, has somehow got a Epic CPU working on an X399 motherboard. So that the Epic is AMD's server-based processor, and technically he didn't get it to work, right? He got it to boot, which is something that would typically not happen if you installed it in an X399 board.
Yeah, it's half
while, while the pin layout is technically the same, if you tried this yourself, it just wouldn't boot at all. It just wouldn't.
Yeah.
What he was able to do was he discovered an ID pin on the CPU, which when you cover that pin, it will boot up until the memory testing. Which is interesting. I think it's pretty cool to kind of discover these little things that most people don't know about. You know, ID pins are nothing that's particularly new. They just let the socket know whether or not to boot the CPU.
Yeah.
But this could mean that it might be possible. There could be some more modding, BIOS. You know,
seen much crazier hacks in the past.
Yeah, so. He thinks that if he got a BIOS from an Epic-based motherboard and you flashed it for this motherboard, you could get it to work.
Getting it to take the flash, though, would be interesting.
Yeah, especially considering this is an X399 board. You know what I mean?
There's going to be a lot of left-off bits there.
Yeah, so, but I think it's pretty cool. I think that there's not enough people doing stuff like this anymore. We don't really see it.
Yeah, occasionally.
Yeah, occasionally. But not a whole lot. So,
yeah.
Really cool something. And he created a video. We have it in the article, so you guys can check that out. And Samsung announced that they are entering volume production of a killer crypto mining ASIC. Of course, cryptocurrency is pretty huge these days, and they've been contracted by an unknown client in China to create this ASIC, which is basically a single chip solution that combines CPU, SMID, parallel processing components made for mining, mining cryptocurrency. And, you know, this could turn into a really big business for Samsung. TSMC has been contracted to do this as well in the past, and it's become a big part of their business, especially in China, where, you know, most of the cryptocurrency that mined comes from China. So this could be a real big deal for Samsung.
Absolutely. If they're not too late.
Yeah, I don't think they're... I mean, the order's there. They're making it for whoever...
Yeah.
This company is that's making either these machines, or it's a mining company that's actually going to be doing the mining. Because we've seen the I think it's the Antminer and the Bitminer.
Yep.
Those are actually products that were made with they were manufactured by the chip is manufactured by TSMC to be used in those miners. So we don't specifically know if this unknown Chinese company is going to create a product that you can buy to mine your own, or they're actually a mining company that they had, you know, this machine or whatever it may be will be part of their infrastructure to mine. We don't know. But it's
probably the former.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting to see that this is becoming part of their business. Both TSMC and Samsung to be, you know, I don't know how big of a business this is for them, but it's...
Well, I think that we would like to see it become a much, much bigger part of their business. And this leads into some of the other articles that we have is just because it's a specific part for mining. I'd love to see it move to that rather than using gaming components.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Especially since this is, it's better at it.
Yes, yes. ASIC mining is much more efficient, uses less power, and is usually better for the most part. And it's much easier to maintain because graphics cards die. And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as Derek pointed out, you know, then you could buy whatever product is made by this instead of buying all the GPUs. So we go back to normal GPU prices.
Yeah.
Yes. So, talking about that, you know, there has been a price gouge when it comes to GPUs.
Gouge is kind of an understatement.
Yeah, so a GTX 1080 Ti has been selling most of the time for $1,400 online, which up from is
800.
I think it's, yeah,
799, 749, something like that.
Yeah, so
almost double.
Yeah, almost double that you would be paying online, which is insane. So Micro Center is really great because they're famously known for a lot of times doing in-store deals where you can get CPUs below MSRP. They've done it before.
Yeah.
And
well, they're still in business, so they have to have something up their sleeve.
Yeah, you so before on their website, we talked about it maybe a couple months ago, is that if you were buying more than 3 graphics cards, they would charge you like a ridiculous amount of money that you wouldn't even buy it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was like $10,000.
Yeah, it was like $15,000 total or something. So to combat things even more, I wouldn't say combat, but you know, because of the price gouging and everything like that, they're going to allow you to get a graphics card at the normal MSRP if you have the rest of the components of a PC in your cart.
The entirety?
You have to have processor, motherboard, memory kit, and power supply.
Man. I could see like a GPU and memory upgrade, right?
Yeah.
Like, maybe you don't need the memory upgrade, but you do it because it's a value add-on and it gets you that price back on the GPU. I can't see, like, man, doing a whole upgrade just because you want to upgrade your GPU.
Yeah, well, that's what makes it tough because, again, if I'm a cryptocurrency miner, right?
Yeah.
And I need 10 GPUs, I can buy a GPU plus the memory, right? Because it's not that big of a price increase.
Yeah.
For me, and I'll still buy it. So it's so hard to really stop. Yeah. You know what I mean? And like really.
To create something that really filters out the miners.
Yeah, it's really really hard. So this is cool. I like it for. It's great for somebody who's building a new PC, right? Because you're not going to get. Right now it's so hard to build your own PC for the fact of the prices of NAND and SSDs and more importantly graphics cards. It's just astronomical. So this, if you are building a new PC, it's great because you can get all the parts and they'll be normal price, right?
Yeah.
And it's limited to one of these deals per household, so like per shipping address.
Okay.
Can
you actually order this, or do you have to go in store?
You can order this online.
Oh, okay, cool. They'll probably sell a few.
Yeah, I think they will. I think again, you know, we're right in between launches of a lot of things, so it is upgrade time. We are going to be getting into tax return season.
Oh yeah, we are in it.
Yeah, I guess so. I always do my taxes at the last minute. So,
so do I.
Yeah. But yeah, so, you know, I think it is a good, it's a great thing for anybody looking to build a new system. Now, if you just want to upgrade your graphics card, this won't help you. Yeah. You know, so.
Huh. I mean, I suppose you could buy the whole thing and you could sell off the other components.
Yeah. Or, yeah, it's, you know. But it's cool on Micro Center's part to try to help people who are actually looking to use their PC for gaming and not mining.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, are they okay with people mining when they're not using their PC to game? What's their stance on that?
I don't know. I think that, you know, they're really trying to stop the people that are buying 30 graphics cards, you know.
Yeah. Well, the problem is you're destroying the market, the gaming market, PC gaming market, because if kids can't get into it, if people can't upgrade their PCs, if you can't do it for what was becoming relatively reasonably priced, right?
Yeah.
$100 or so, you could play PC games. That's not that much of a stretch from console. Because it used to be you had to spend $2,000, right?
Yeah.
To have a decent system. So, I mean, it was the price was getting down there. So,
and I mean, even now to game in 1080p on most, I mean, it's not expensive to get into at all.
Right. But if GPUs are A, unavailable, B, just twice the price of all the rest of your components, nobody's gonna, you're gonna lose people, right?
Yeah, and it's not even the high-end GPUs too. I mean,
No, it's everything,
it's across the
basically.
board. It's 1060, it's 1050 Ti and up, really,
Yeah.
are just
Yep.
astronomical in
Because the
price.
miners can't get the higher end cards, so the go for what they can get.
Yeah, exactly.
Those dirty miners.
Yeah. So, that brings us to something I actually like a lot. A really cool case
Really?
was announced this week. Yeah, based on price. Antec has announced their DF500 and DF500 RGB cases. I really like the RGB one. It reminds me almost, not identical, but a lot like the Masterbox Lite 5 RGB, what I did review.
Yeah.
Very cost-effective case with a tempered glass side panel. Three RGB fans in the front, and this one has the clear front. It's not tempered glass, but it is acrylic, but it still looks really good, at least from these pictures.
Yeah.
And has everything that you would want to build a nice system. And it's $69.99 for the RGB version, and $49.99 for the non-RGB, which will be three normal fans in the front there. I like it, but I don't say I like Antec things often.
Usually never.
The RGB controls there's actually a control box built into the case, so you can use it to switch colors and do all that. So if there is a header as well, so if you want to connect it to your motherboard, you can. But if you don't have a motherboard that has RGB software or a header, you can still change the colors, and there's a couple effects that you can do as well. So I mean, tempered glass side panel, mid tower. Three included fans, which are RGB for $69.99. I
Oh,
like it.
you can't argue the value. That's
Yeah.
for sure. Dialing is okay. It's okay to me.
Yeah, I like it. I like it for the price.
Okay.
I'd have
I
to.
don't know how I feel about all these cases with these acrylic front panels. I like airflow.
Yeah,
I
I
like my
don't
case to perform the way
know.
it should be. And these are all on like these are all mid tower cases too, you know? Like they're not massive volumes of air, so they actually need the flow.
Yeah,
It's
so
like it's kind of the next wave of cases that we've seen.
I don't know if there's, I assume there's vents on the bottom
Yeah,
to
I'm
get air
sure.
in, but obviously it's not optimal. And we talked to the Cooler Master about this at CES,
Yeah.
and they're coming up with different things to kind of still have the cool look, but make better airflow. And I think a lot of companies have rushed these out because they look cool, and then they're like, oh, yeah, airflow. A lot of people
Yeah.
care about that.
With cases, it's kind of like once there's a new thing, you better get your new thing out too.
Yeah, and I think that we saw it with the NZXT, the H700i, that has the around the panel, it has
The venting, right?
the venting and everything, and it's kind of made that way, but still keeps that sleek look, because that's what this case is. It's all about the front cool, sleek look, right? Companies that's the new thing, is to have that awesome sleek front look. But how do you do that with good airflow? You know what I mean? And I think first companies wanted to have that cool sleek look, and now they're going back and looking at it and being like, okay, we need to improve airflow. What do we need to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
Yep,
but
absolutely.
again, I like these cases. It's not often I say I like something from Antec, because there hasn't been anything from Antec I've liked.
They've been struggling.
Yeah, so this looks good. I like it. So maybe we'll get one to review. It'll be cool.
Cool.
So, where are we going here? Corsair introduced their K68 water resistant RGB mechanical keyboard. And those words together: water resistant
Mechanical.
mechanical keyboard, something we haven't
Yeah.
seen. This is really important. I know, at least I don't. At least in recent memory, I haven't spilled anything on my keyboard. But a lot of times, it happens, and if you're using a mechanical keyboard, it's gone.
Right.
Because the switches, you'll kill the switches, and a lot of times you can't replace the switches in a lot of these keyboards. So this is their solution. It's water resistant, not fully waterproof, so you can't put this underwater. But it should save you from a lot of spills. You know what I mean? And this is one of the first times we've seen a fully mechanical keyboard that gives you that water resistance. you know, which I like. Cherry MX switches, $119, fully RGB, and it works with their Q software, of course, and it keeps that that Corsair K design, which a lot of people like. So I like it.
It looks good. Yeah.
Looks
I'm sure,
good.
I'm sure it functions.
Yeah.
And, if that's a design that you like, this is just another nice value add-on.
Yeah, and of course, like I said, the big thing with this keyboard is the water resistance, being water resistant or spill resistant and mechanical. Because all the ones we've seen that they're like the Cooler Master has their mechanical, and we've seen Razer with their like. They feel mechanical, but they're not really mechanical type deal. So this is fully mechanical Cherry MX switches. So,
yeah. Yes. Always something to be said for real mechanical switches.
Yes, yes, for sure. So definitely check that out if you've broken a keyboard because you spilled on it. This might be something that you yeah. might want to check out.
If you need that, you know it.
Yes. So we'll talk about something retro here. This is before my time. Because I never had one of these,
no.
And even used one. I don't believe I've ever even used one. But the Commodore 64, at the time when it was released, was the world's best selling home computer.
I had one of these.
You did?
Yeah. Well, my dad did, and we used it.
Okay, I know. Yeah, never had one. So,
I didn't realize. I thought that the monitor was attached to it, though.
I don't believe so.
I don't think it is. Yeah.
Yeah. We've seen this with our consoles first. The NES was first, correct? Yes.
Yeah.
The NES, and then the SNES Mini just came out recently. I believe they're Are they doing a Sega? If they do a Sega one, I need to start getting these, because I really do enjoy old school.
They're fun, and it's cool. The original, because we have the regular Nintendo one, and it's fun. Having the original controller is the best part, I would say.
Yes,
but like you can play all of these games on your PC,
of course.
Most of them on different consoles. It's just about having that the keyboard or whatever, you know. The control, the input is what's the biggest part.
Yeah. So they're coming out with a mini. It's called the C64 Mini. And it's a Commodore 64 Mini. Has two USB ports. I'm not sure if the keyboard on this works or if it's just for show.
Probably is just for show. Maybe it's not. It won't be mechanical like it originally was.
Probably not, no.
It'd be too small of a switch, like the space to put all the switches in. I think that being that, it kind of, like, this isn't something that I would say you make a mini of, because part of it, like I mentioned, the controller is the thing that that's the feels, right? The games, yes, but you can play the games. So you need that input device, and with this, it's like, the keyboard is the input device. You're making it mini.
Yeah,
kind of ruining that, like, straight off the bat.
And I believe this is just going to play games.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not going to be an actual operating
like PC,
system
yeah.
where you could run. What ran on this?
Basic,
yeah, yeah. So
I never used an operating system on it. It was you put a floppy in and
yeah. So like whatever. You could like you know it'd be cool to like oh let me run Basic again and whatever. You know what I mean? Like
I think that the best way to sell this honestly would be to make the original size. You know, it would be super cheap because components to run at this level would be super cheap. And then actually have the floppy drive for it.
That'd be cool.
I think people would buy the floppies.
That would be really cool.
Because that's so that... It's the feels, right? That's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's just remembering what it felt like. So
I don't
give them the whole experience.
I don't see this...
No.
...being as popular as the Nintendo's.
Nope.
Because this is set for gaming. So you do get the joystick that's much like the original joystick that came with the Commodore 64 as well.
Yeah.
And it's loaded with a ton of games, which they have listed on their website, which is cool. I like it. It's more computer-esque for, you know, us computer people.
Yeah.
But again, It would have been cool, like you said, to maybe have a floppy, or like even a floppy that just would go in and that's how you started it or something.
Yeah, I mean, you could make a floppy with flash memory in it.
Oh yeah, or anything like that. Just like, even the function of it, just go, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think they're missing the point with this one.
I would have liked to see something that would bring up a prompt and I could,
just that flashing character.
Yeah, like that would be cool for me.
Yeah.
But I think for people who, again, this was before my time. I think for people who did grow up playing games on this would be a cool retro thing.
Yeah.
But for me, no.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it's not the
experience that they think they're selling.
Yeah, I don't.
This is no different than the Atari versions that you can buy at like the dollar store.
Yeah,
where it's built into the joystick, because that's really all this is the joystick.
Yeah. No price. Don't know price.
Probably like $100.
Yeah, it might be. Let's see here. Coming soon. No, it doesn't allow you to see the price. So,
only 720p too.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, so, but I think it's cool. All these retro things are just really awesome. I think because a lot of people grew up on all this kind of stuff. So I think it's really cool. So hopefully we'll see the price. I need to get at least one of these soon.
Yeah, get one of the Nintendo ones. That's what.
Yeah, I really want Sega, man.
Well, I can see that. Yeah, that Sega.
Oh yeah, and like Sonic, just like playing Sonic. And, yeah. We'll move on
to NBA Jam, bro.
Yeah, NBA Jam was awesome.
From downtown.
Yes, I love that game. So Windows 10, at least according to StatCounter, which is a company that collects analytics and everything like that, yeah. It has finally passed Windows 7 in global market share. So in January 2018, Windows 10 represented 42.78% of the worldwide desktop market share, whereas Windows 7 had 41.86%. So they kind of just... If you look at the graph, they swapped. I think it's taken a longer time for Windows 10 adoption, longer than what Microsoft anticipated, definitely. I think it's about time, though.
It's only been 2 years?
I don't know when Windows 10 came out.
Maybe that is a long time, actually.
Let me see.
Yeah, I guess because we're thinking of it in terms of Windows 7 versus... the rest, right? Because Windows 7 we just had to hang on to.
Yeah, because Windows 8 was so bad.
Vista and 8 were just...
Vista was before 7.
That's right. Yeah, 8 and 8 point... Was it 8.1 then, or...?
Yeah, I mean, 8 was bad, and then they tried to fix it with 8.1, and that was worse, and... Yeah,
they were garbage. So really, we became so comfortable with 7... Right? Like, why would I move from 7? It works fine.
And I think that so many people were upset with 8 and 8.1. They were very weirded out to try 10, right?
Yeah.
But I think we've seen adoption. I mean, we both run 10.
Yeah. I still have 7 on a system.
Yeah.
On the test system, because that's what it was running on when we, started our testing, so I have to.
Yeah.
And I find that it's still fine. It is starting to feel a little XP-y, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, especially if you're used to 10.
Yeah.
I
still find things with 10 where I'm just like, you're dumb. Why are you making this so difficult?
Yeah, oh yeah, I agree.
But there's other things that are good. It fixes a lot of things for you.
Yeah.
Like... as much as I can fix them myself easily, if you just want to set everything up for me, that's fine. I don't mind that. Gives me more time for other things.
Yeah. I think it's about time that we saw the switch over. Like I said, I run all 10. I know most people I know are running 10. If you're buying a new PC, it's running 10.
Yeah. It runs leaner.
Yes.
So it's better for mobile.
Correct.
So and then it's obviously better for desktop too, because
and again you need 10 to run any DX12 game.
Yes. I think that was the real reason why I switched it. I was a hardline holdout.
You were. I remember we talked about this
many times.
So yeah. So I guess congrats to Microsoft for finally doing that. It took them 2 years. It came out in 2015. So
it's got to be really nice to be Microsoft, in the sense that no matter what, like, that happens with a product launch, like, they're not going anywhere.
Correct.
You know, like, they're still just gonna make the next thing or keep 10 up to date or whatever.
It would be very hard pressed to find a company that comes along and creates an operating system that people use other than Windows. You know what I mean?
Don't say Linux, it's not the same thing.
Yeah. That a large amount of the population uses. But I mean, there was this thing called Firefox, right? And then there was this thing called Chrome that came along, and then Chrome became the most popular. You know what I mean? And now they go back and forth. So you never know, but I just don't see a company big enough. You know what I mean?
There is no competition, because you're either Apple or you're not, right?
Correct.
So you either want that, you're not like, oh, I don't know, maybe I want to switch to Apple. No. You're one or the other. Yeah. And you're either Linux or you're not.
Yeah. And Linux, like, there's so many different distributions. It just will never become as popular.
It's just too difficult for the average person to use.
That too, you know, so.
Even though everyone, I'm sorry, all the Linux people are shouting right now that no, it's not. I'm sorry, but it is.
It's just different because you're used to one thing. It's just like we always talk about using an iPhone and using an Android phone.
Yeah.
If I picked up an Android phone, I wouldn't be as good at, you know, it would take me a little bit to know how to use it. We're so used to Windows. And then, you know, most Linux distributions have, you know, they're not like, you know, people think Linux, they think, you know, I have to type in commands.
Code.
No, like they all have an interface and everything. And I've installed Linux before and used it. Yeah. It's just different. Things are in different places, and it takes a while to get used to. You know what I mean?
And things aren't... Like, there are things that are straight up unavailable for it.
Correct. So, and a lot of that
It's like choosing to have something that's less supported.
Yeah. It's drivers for a lot of things, and for a lot of people, gaming, there's not a... I mean, there is Linux support for a lot of big titles, but, you know, it's just good to be
You really want to wait for every game?
Yeah, it's good to be on this system where it has, you know everything's going to be supported and work, right? At least it should.
It's one of those things where we're being a bandwagoner, being a fanboy, being whatever you want to call it, is actually the smarter thing to do.
Yeah.
I find.
Yeah, for sure.
Linux is like it's more of a toy.
I wouldn't say it's a toy. I think a lot of people... A lot of coders use it.
Yeah.
And actually, a lot of coders use Macs, really.
Yep. Well, I mean, it's Linux, or it's Unix-based, so.
Yeah, so. But anyways.
We digress.
Yes. So, we'll talk about gaming really quickly, and it's kind of a sad story, at least for me, because I actually played this game, and I enjoyed it.
It's an odd story.
Yeah. Epic Games is shutting down Paragon, which was their MOBA game. They're shutting it down April 26th. And I think a lot of this has to be because of... what's it called? Because...
all I want to say is Fortnite. Player on Battleground. Yeah, Fortnite.
Because of Fortnite. So Epic Games released Paragon in 2016. It was a MOBA, designed as a MOBA-type game, but it had a very FPS feel to it, and really great graphics. That's why I liked it, because most of these MOBAs, you have that above view, you have your little hero guy, and you do your stuff, right? This, you felt like this was like, you had a third-person view, but it was behind your guy, and I think you could go into first-person view, I can't remember, but it was like...
I never did.
It was almost like an FPS, but like MOBA rules, you know what I mean? Like the style of the game, it was a MOBA, right?
Yeah, it was a lane.
Yeah, and graphics were really good. I really liked it. I know we both played it.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun game.
It looked good, which is ticks the box for me.
Yeah, and it looked really good. It played well. You know, they're shutting it down. I guess it didn't have the adoption that it does. And not, you know, you never know. We don't know the numbers of how well it performs, but obviously compared to Fortnite, it is
Fortnite. I think that maybe we're seeing, it's not that there was necessarily something wrong with Paragon or the user base was that small, because there are games that are still functioning that are trash and don't have people play them. They're just propped up. I think that with Fortnite, they have such a huge opportunity and such a huge obligation to keep that going well and keeping it up to date and everything running smoothly there, that they probably want to just move the resources.
Yeah, so earlier in January, they announced that they were moving some of the Paragon team to Fortnite. So obviously, I think that's the reason. I think it's a great game. And it's kind of sad to see it go, but again,
it might get picked up by somebody else.
Can they do that though?
I mean, yeah, you can sell the IP.
Yeah, I guess you could. Yeah. But yeah, they're offering full refunds if you bought anything within the game. The game was free to play, but there was things you could buy in the game,
Which is really good of them. Epic Games is a pretty stand up company.
Yeah, and I like the way their launcher works. Like everything just works correctly.
Yeah.
We have the link. If you had bought anything within the game, you can get your refund. And it's sad to see it go. I might just like load it up to play it one more time.
Is it still functional right now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, April 26th.
Yeah, April 26th is okay. When they will officially be shutting down the servers and everything. So,
you know, I hate to say it though, but I also need to download the Battle Royale for Fortnite.
Yeah, just to play.
Probably killing Paragon. I would like to play too.
Yeah. I played Fortnite originally. I have yet to play.
I played with you.
Actually. Yeah, we played. So I really like that game. I like the mechanics of that game actually a lot.
And the people that I talked to about the Battle Royale say that that's even better. So
I think it's cool because in that portion, compared to PUBG, I've always liked sim games. Right in Fortnite Battle Royale, you can build things. You can, like, if somebody's shooting at you, you can build a wall. You know, you can do this certain thing. So I like that mechanic of the game.
Yeah, build forts, build traps.
Yeah,
all kinds of stuff. Yep.
Yeah, very cool. So that is our news for this week, and we'll talk about what we have coming up next week. Fully loaded week, as long as I get these reviews done. starting off, we'll be taking a look at the Tesoro Excalibur SE Spectrum. So the SE Spectrum is the optical switch version of their Excalibur keyboard. Okay. So basically, instead of a mechanical switch where you have a metal contact, and when that makes contact, it, you know, that's your switch, or that's your action.
It essentially pushes a lever.
It pushes a lever over a laser, and more accurate. Because it's just more, I don't know how to explain it.
Well, it's light.
Yeah, you're killing the light, and there's nothing that's going to interfere with that. Yeah. It's a faster response time. And the switches are designed to feel like a mechanical switch. There is metal in there that makes the bump, and that makes the tactile feedback. Mimics it almost. And what's cool about this one is I have the white version.
Ooh.
So they make a black version and a white version. I have the white version,
which is nice. Great.
White version with my favorite type of switch, which is blue.
Nice.
Which people hate. If you're in an office, people hate blues.
Blues are the best.
Yes.
The only downside to the white is the wear.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's something that I've been kind of looking at with this board. But we reviewed their other one, which is the optical switch as well. And really nice technology, and I think that Tesoro is a name that's not as prevalent, but they do make some really good products. So excited to show you guys that, and then I'll be taking a look at some memory from Patriot. So I have their Viper LED DDR4 memory. I have their DDR4 3000 kit, 16 gig kit. This is their newer memory modules. They're not RGB, but they do have red LEDs in there. So if bread is kind of part of your system, you can go ahead and have that. And they make them in red and white currently, and I think eventually in the future we'll see RGB from them. But I think they had to kind of get this right. I think a lot of companies we saw that they had, like, you know, either white or blue or whatever it may be, and then they moved into RGB.
Blue and red was really, I mean, maybe green, but white is actually, like, smart. White's the only color that you can put out that goes with everything.
Yeah, and exactly.
Honestly, it looks the best.
Yeah, white looks, white looks the best. So you have red and white versions, and I have the red version, and I'll be telling you guys about that, you know, next week.
Nice.
And we have a cool little thing. It's something you need if you have an Ultrabook, especially a new one, that typically has USB Type-C ports, which my newest one does. And my the Lenovo Ultrabook that I have has a single normal USB Type-A port and two USB Type-C ports, which means that I can only connect, if I have a normal mouse, I can connect one mouse, or I can connect one headset, or I can connect one, you know, SSD, what have you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's annoying. This Type-C thing is coming in, and you're going to have to get something like this, especially, again, if you have a MacBook or any new Ultrabook, you're going to have to get a device like this. So this is their HV TCP68. This is a USB Type-C hub that gives you a ton of connections. So it goes from, you know, you connect it to your USB Type-C, you get HDMI, you get three USB 3.0 ports, and you get, what's it called? You get a card reader as well. It's something, and that's one thing that Ultrabooks do not have anymore, which makes no sense to me, is card readers. They just, this, you know, what, last year, 2 years, all Ultrabooks, including brand new, you know, the MacBook Pros, which is made for creators, they do not have card readers. So this gives you all of that, and it allows you to connect power. So a lot of Ultrabooks, including the Lenovo one I have, one of the Type-C ports is a, that's where you get your power as well. So basically, you plug this in, you connect your power to this, and you're powering your laptop as well as getting all of these extra ports.
It's a pretty, pretty cool device.
Yeah, it's just, it's needed. You know what I mean? I believe that Apple was the first to do away with card reader, and they were one of the first to do away. They were one of the first to really start using the Type-C port. And everybody else has kind of followed suit, and now you're going to see a lot of these Type-C devices,
expansion device.
Especially because, you know, everybody wants things thin and light, and you can't put a ton of USB ports on something, especially Type-A ports on something, and make it thin and light. You know what I mean? So, yeah, pretty cool.
Cool interesting device. To see how well it works.
Yeah, it works really well. Just tell you know. Okay. But you'll see in the review, works quite well. And then, because it is the start of the month, we'll be doing our worst PC setups article. So excited for that as well. But that brings us to the end of the podcast. We'll talk about if you did anything tech related recently.
I didn't buy any gear. Working on a review. I did watch a couple things.
Okay.
I already talked about Blade Runner 2049.
Yes.
I watched Happy Death Day.
What is that?
It's like a Groundhog's Day for murder. It's got a fairly decent Rotten Tomatoes score of 71. It's kind of like a take it or leave it. Some people like it, some people don't. I thought it was interesting and fun and worth a watch for sure. It's not a 10 out of 10, but worth a watch. And then I also watched the new Kingsman movie, The Golden Circle.
Is that good? I actually watched the first one before I went away on my trip. So I think like around Christmas time, I watched the first one and I liked it. So
I thoroughly enjoyed the first one. I thought it was fun. Thought it was a good little trip. The second one, not as much. It's got a 53 on Rotten, and I think that's about where I'd put it. Maybe a 60.
Interesting.
It's a. I mean, it's worth watching if you've seen the original.
Yeah.
But overall, not quite the same. It's suffering from the trying to follow up syndrome, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think they'll do another one, and maybe they'll improve a bit.
Gotcha. All right. Well, for me, well, I mean, like I said, I have been away. I've been in California for the better part of a month. But while I was in California, I was mostly in San Diego, but I went up to LA for a few days, and I got to visit some companies that we work with. So we visited Zotac, iBuyPower, and CyberPower. And when it came to Zotac, nothing is made there. This is just an office, but it's where all their product is. And it was very interesting to see a very large warehouse with hardly anything in it.
Just can't keep stuff stocked.
Yeah, they can't keep anything stocked. And they, you know, they said this warehouse is usually full. And it was like, oh, we saw Cooler Master as well. I totally forgot about that as well. Yeah, so we, like, basically a completely empty, not empty, but a big warehouse, you know, like a big warehouse that's with less than half full with their graphics cards, which is pretty crazy.
Good problem to have for them.
Yes.
Mostly. Although this just goes to the mining thing, right?
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah. And then, we got to see Cooler Master and got to see their office. And I really like how their office was set up. Very open layout, like not cubicle-y, which a couple of like the other companies, they're, you know, everybody has like a cubicle. This is like an open office layout, which I really liked. And they also have their warehouse there where everything gets shipped out. And just imagine a warehouse full of cases, like, just, you know, we posted a picture on Instagram of that.
Was that 20 feet high,
something like that? Just a ton of cases all ready to be shipped out. And again, that's where they do all their shipping. Again, nothing gets made there, everything gets made overseas, but very cool office there. And then we sell both iBuyPower and CyberPower, and what's cool about visiting those companies is we got to see the production line.
That's cool.
Which
assembly.
Yeah, assembly line and everything, which was in full effect because their orders are just crazy right now. Because, again, buying a custom-built PC through either iBuyPower or CyberPower, you don't get that price gouge of the GPU.
Right, right.
And it was really, really cool to see, you know, they didn't want us taking any pictures of like inventory of GPUs and things like that. But it was cool to see all the stuff and how... with CyberPower, they showed us, you know, when they get products in that they're going to use in their system, they test these products. They're not just products. Like, so say, you know, CyberPower uses a certain graphics card or they use a certain stick of memory. They actually thoroughly test it. They don't just get it from the...
Yeah, and slap it in the box and sell
it. They have a whole room for testing, and they're actually expanding that room to a second room. And that's not even just normal components, right? They had like fans, and they had RGB stuff, and everything that they use that you can pick in their, you know, on their online configuration, they test thoroughly to make sure it passes. Whatever, you know, to make sure it works correctly.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to be selling configurations to your customers that aren't going to stand the test of time.
That was really, really cool to see that they had all that. We got to see the production line. We got to see their inventory. And CyberPower's warehouse is massive. It's huge. But it was really cool to see how everything goes in the production line. And we also saw that at iBuyPower as well. And they're right down the street from each other, which is kind of funny. I'm literally a block away from each other. Nice. So that was really cool to, you know, a lot of these companies that we work with, you know, we see them at CES, but we don't really get a grasp on, you know, their business and how, you know, their office space. Yeah. So it was cool to, it's cool to go ahead and do that. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And it was, we'll be posting some pictures over social media the next coming weeks of some of the stuff that we saw, but, you know, we've been kind of spreading it out. So very cool.
Nice.
And I think that is basically it. I think a lot of travel and
One thing that I kind of didn't mention because we were into CES and stuff. One thing I am doing this year is a photo challenge. So
a photo a day challenge.
I've never done it before, and I just wanted to do more photography, look at things more creatively. So if you want to check that out, you can check out my Instagram.
Yes, we'll have it linked in the show notes. And that's one thing that's very hard to do is like even me like. Typically, I try to post something every day on Instagram, and that's hard.
Oh yeah, you got
it's a lot of it's a lot of work.
Yeah, you got to do it.
Yeah, so
gotta mean to do it.
I have a lot of backlog stuff now because I've been away for a month, and a lot of that was like kind of venturing and checking things out. So I have a lot of stuff there. So you've been content posting a lot of stuff
to be created.
Yeah, and obviously when you're posting that much stuff, you get more eyes on your stuff. So pretty cool.
Yes.
Yes. So that will end our podcast here, guys. As I always say, we have our full show notes page that has everything that we talked about. So if you want more information or you just want to check out what we're talking about, you can go ahead and click through and see that. And if you're searching for us on your favorite podcasting software, what may be, it's just Think Computers, all one word, and you'll find us. So until next week, catch you guys later.